Welcome to the Angry Admins podcast for December 17th, 2007, episode 53. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
My name is Ryan Necessary.
And we got some craziness going on in the studio today.
We do.
The Mad Men's studio.
Yes.
So you had some fun this week, right?
Right. So my XP, let me back up. A few weeks ago, I may have said either to Joe at lunch or to some random stranger at the bus stop as I was driving by it, or on the podcast. I'm not sure where I had this conversation, but I was talking a lot of smack about, I never have problems with my home PC. I never have to reload. That thing is like 2 years old, and it's never had a problem. And I don't know what all these people's issues are, and who still reloads Windows? These people are stupid. Well, I'm eating my words this week, because my XP home PC finally... It asplode big time.
Big time.
So I just had like a multitude of things all happen all at once. I was getting registry errors. I was getting crashes on... I was getting blue screens when I tried to play video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting... When I did the MemTest 86 on testing my RAM, that was failing. I mean, literally every symptom that I went looking for, I found that problem.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. So I don't know. So as a result of that, some troubleshooting, eventually... decided, okay, I need to try to make the jump to Vista just to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Not really that I wanted it, but we're going to have to start using it at work.
Right.
So it was time to take that plunge and just sort of deal with that. So bought a new motherboard today, new RAM,
mm-hmm.
moved the processor over. Joe waited patiently while I fumbled through the assembly and the reassembly of my PC. So now we're staring at my gorgeous 24-inch monitor as it is installing Vista Ultimate.
And if you were listening carefully, you heard the post beep.
Beep.
Nay, 20, 30 seconds ago.
Yes.
And he is now booting into his first Vista experience.
It's so special. I'll always remember this day.
With the load bar without a logo. We were talking about that earlier. That is something it's like they forgot to put in the logo.
Right. It's like the little Knight Rider thing going back and forth.
Right.
And it says copyright Microsoft. But there's nothing above it. It's just a giant nothing.
Just a loading bar at the bottom. All out of balance and funny looking. But.
So Vista's trying to start up for the first time. So you'll be following our adventures with the Vista install during the podcast.
Right. But, so another big thing this week. 60 years ago. Yesterday, so we're recording this on the 17th. Yesterday, the 16th, 60 years ago today, did you know about this? Do you know what I'm going to say? You don't, do you?
Was the first time...
transistors were born.
Hmm.
Without which, you would not be dealing with any of this stuff right now.
Okay.
And we would not have jobs.
We would be doing something.
Well, yeah, we'd be like shoveling snow or...
Joe would be a lumberjack.
I'd still be back in Indiana shoveling snow and... You know, detasseling corn in the cornfield.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hooray for transistors.
Well, it is a big deal. I guess we would still have vacuum tubes, so we'd be running...
The tubes.
Our laptops would be much, much larger.
Yes.
But, yeah. If you care about that, it's a big deal, but it seems like it wasn't that long ago. Seems like it was much closer. But that's when they were... created, so they weren't in mass production yet or anything.
Well, if you look at how far we've come, even just in 10 years, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since the 80s, and then the 80s to the 90s was like an epic leap, and then the 90s to 2000
mm-hmm.
was crazy. And now when I look back at things that were happening in 2000 with computers, motherboards, RAM, the internet, and I look at that compared to now, it just seems so old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just moving so fast, it's insane.
Yeah, so like all the news agencies have been kind of covering this for about 3 seconds on their newscasts, and I guess the big thing that people ask is they go find the Moore's Law creator guy, Gordon E. Moore,
mm-hmm.
and just say, so Moore's Law, is that still valid? And he just says, yes, for now. And then that's the story. Pretty exciting.
Okay.
They're really good at covering tech in the news.
Right. So that's kind of like Groundhog Day. Did he see a shadow? Who cares? Does it matter?
I don't know. I've stopped watching local news because it's just worthless. That's why I have a laptop and the interwebs.
Well, you would think at some point that it's going to hit a limit, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, I keep hearing more. You know, I thought quantum computing was dead, but I just read something this week, and I don't remember where it was, but they actually were able to compute some mathematics with a quantum, I don't know what it was. It was a quantum computer of some type, and did some, you know, some basic math, and that's a lot farther than they've gotten anything else with it.
So, well, and with the the nanotech stuff coming around the corner, I mean, they're going to be able to do stuff at the molecular level, so who knows how small chips will become.
And I've been hearing about organic stuff, so like actually using proteins and things to be your transistors, and it's like...
We welcome our new Cylon overlords.
Virus takes on a whole new meaning when you have a protein computer.
Right. It's edible. That's delicious technology.
It's pretty crazy.
So did you see the thing? So there was the article today, I think it was on Ars, or it was linked out of Dig or somewhere. When I should have been working, I was browsing because it is the holidays.
Well, it's getting pretty dead at work.
Yeah, but they were talking about, we got the exaflood, which, you know, the exabytes of data are going to be flooding across the internet, and we don't have enough bandwidth for all this video and all this voice over IP. Exactly. We're afraid it's all going to fail, you know, fear, uncertainty, doubt. So they were talking about that, and this was actually predicted before. It was predicted back in the 90s, like early 90s. And there was a guy that was saying, oh, you know, we're all dependent on email now, and this new, you know, web, and it's all going to crash, and where are we going to be? And of course it didn't crash.
Right.
You know, so pretty much the idea of the article and some of the responses was, as long as they keep throwing money at the bandwidth, we don't have a problem.
Beep.
I know it's beeping. But I think where they said the problem is the last edge, which is basically from the curb to your house, you know, from your neighborhood to your house. That is the problem. And that's where, you know, like if you're in BitTorrent, you need a lot of up and down, especially if you are, as a home user, not only the consumer of the data, but also the provider, which in the BitTorrent model, that is the case.
Exactly.
And if you don't have the bandwidth to do both, then the whole network gets hurt.
Right.
So, I don't know. And then they talked about net neutrality and how, you know, oh, it's bad. Oh, no, wait, no, it's good. And
yeah, nobody can decide whether they like net neutrality or not. I think it's a good thing. I'm always been kind of for, you know, yeah, it's government regulating the internet, but it's kind of more like deregulating it, saying you can't charge more for content. It's just based on the bits you're sending, which is how we want to keep the internet. You know, that's what makes the internet great, is that it doesn't matter what you send, as long as it's bits.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of folks saying, well, don't you want businesses to, you know, make investments and do things to make it better and innovate? And
yeah, because they're not doing that already.
Yeah, it's like, why aren't they doing that already? I don't know.
I mean, you know, Google.
Yeah.
They don't do that. No.
So that's the other thing I see pretty much every week now, is the whole Google versus the government.
Yeah.
Google versus Microsoft. Google versus the Martians. It's like, who's going to win?
I think people want so bad for Google to become evil or to become Microsoft that they're just trying to find every way they can that to have Google be like the enemy. So far, they've come out pretty clean. There's a lot of privacy issues going on with Google, but until they do something bad with that data, everybody's going to keep liking them, as long as they keep giving us free software and free content.
So did you hear about the Nulls?
Yeah, that's going to be another Google miss.
Right. So this is KNOLS, which is basically, this is just Google sick of every time you type something in, the first result is they point you to Wikipedia.
Right. They want some of that money.
So they're like, we're going to pay experts to like draft an article, you know, and that we're going to point you to our expert first. You know, or hopefully it will get linked into and rise to the top of the search.
This sounds like what they were trying to do with that. I don't remember what it was called, but where they had, you could like pay to have your question answered, and then it would become searchable later.
Wasn't that Yahoo?
Or was it? No, Google had a service. Was it Google? Yeah, and it failed because nobody used it.
Right.
Sounds like this is going to be that kind of same thing, just rethought a little bit.
Wow.
I don't see this competing with Wikipedia because, one, it's just going to be one person's answer versus, like, Wikipedia is edited by millions of people every day. So you get that kind of filter of everybody contributing what they know.
What they don't know.
Which, well, but it's still somewhat edited, so you don't get the garbage.
Right.
I mean, Wikipedia, to me, in the last just year, has increased in value because every time I look at it, I trust it more and more because every time I look somewhere else to confirm, it's confirmed.
But the funny thing is that the more popular it's becoming, the more dubious people are treating it.
I know.
So, like, this week I was hearing some folks saying, well, I never let my students, reference Wikipedia anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, it could be edited by anybody and this and that. So it's like the more powerful it is, the more the traditional research type institutions shy away from it and say, we don't want that.
Well, it's gotten so easy for people to do research with it that, you know, they don't want them just using Wikipedia. To me, it's a shame to ban it, you know. Yes, confirm everything you read there, but you should be doing that with everything. You should never just use one source as your basis.
Right. Like when I was in college, I can't imagine doing what I did then, which is going to a computer terminal and then searching a card catalog on the computer and then pulling a bunch of books off of a shelf and taking that to the copy machine and printing those things out. Man. And then highlighting it and then retyping
so
it in.
So painful.
I mean, golly, what were we thinking?
I know.
And then don't even get me started on microfiche.
Oh, that stuff is awful.
So. Yeah, the big deals.
Oh, man, those were so bad.
And even the librarians were like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
So did you see the thing about the indoor positioning system that they're trying to roll out? So, you know, it's like...
That sounds like really risque, or it's either...
We've gone down the tube. Think of it like a GPS that works inside.
Okay.
The idea is that they're using the ultra-wideband technology to kind of link up to GPS modules outside. So... They're thinking of this for like the army that's running through like an urban city, but they still because they rely heavily on GPS for everything. So ultra wideband is that the new kind of where it kind of uses a wide range and uses short bursts across the range to communicate. So it has a pretty high bandwidth, and they'll use the ultra wideband to go long distances with a lot of data at once to connect with other these GPS modules that are somewhere else, and then use multiple GPS modules to position themselves inside or when they can't see a GPS unit because there's a skyscraper or that kind of thing.
So like if I'm a soldier and I run inside of a house, I don't lose my GPS.
So you still know your exact location.
Right.
Which is really helpful. And I mean, something like that in a like New York, that'd be sweet.
Do you think, so are the new, like the 2008, are any of the cars coming out with built-in GPS receivers?
Well, I mean, all the ones with navigation.
So all those have it?
Yeah, that's all GPS stuff.
Okay, so I've used some of the dash-mounted stuff, but I've never...
Yeah, but the ones in the car, I mean, it's a little better because it's not in the dash, it's up on top of the roof, but you still lose it when you go by large buildings or you're under, you know, a heavy tree canopy or...
But it's stuck to the proprietary factory... nav.
Right. Yes.
So what I want is just the receiver with a cable that I can plug into a laptop.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, you can't tie into it.
Man.
Yeah.
Fail.
Hey, man, are you ever going to log into Vista? It's just sitting there asking you for your username.
I guess. Well, I can't choose between the puppy icon or the kitty. I got to do the kitty.
Kitty cat. Meow, 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 meow. Man, the robot's my favorite.
Yeah, he looks like a Lincoln log.
It's awesome. It's like retro robot. So, Nintendo Wii. I hate the Nintendo Wii because you can never buy it. That's pretty much my only reason for not liking it.
Right. Well, you always hate the thing you can't have, right?
They're starting an official Rain Trek program from Nintendo for you to get a Wii. Because they're so worried about losing sales because they can't keep up.
Right,
you can get a rain check from Nintendo to get a Wii after Christmas.
And isn't it through Amazon? Or no, it's Game. I thought it was GameStop.
Nintendo. It's through Nintendo.
Oh, is
GameStop? I think is one of the partners.
So your kid.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. So it's Nintendo, but they're partnering with GameStop.
So your kid opens up an envelope under the Christmas tree on Christmas Day, and in it says, you'll get a Wii sometime in January.
Yes.
Wow. That's sad, Nintendo.
Yes. Pretty lame. Oh, and some other military news that I saw this week while you're logging in. So, you know, like the UAVs in the Air Force, they kind of fly on their own, or you can remotely control them.
The drones.
Yeah. They're testing some models that can recharge themselves on power lines. So it's flying around, it runs out of juice, because most of them are electric. And then it can fly by a power line to get some microwatts of juice. And if that's not enough to give it what it needs, it can land on it, clamp into the power line, and recharge.
So it's going to be like a little vampire, and it just like bites into the
power
line.
How awesome is that?
Oh man, we're in so much trouble.
Skynet begins.
So pretty soon it's going to like clamp onto a human being. And it sucked the blood
Isn't
out.
Isn't that sweet, though?
It's sweet as long as I'm driving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to go watch I Am Legend so that I can fight off the future.
That's right. Oh, man. So we're at Vista right now. What are you doing? You're setting up your computer name and your username. What do you think of the install process so far? It's pretty painless, right? You don't have to, you know, every 5 seconds enter some new tiny tidbit of information like XP.
Well, I like that it wasn't telling me about it.
Yeah, it wasn't saying, here's why you bought Vista, because it's so awesome.
Right, because Windows, you remember XP, it was like, now we do this, now we do this.
Well, and they would update it with every service pack, too, also.
Oh,
I see. I don't know if you ever caught that, but the information would change.
Right, and Linux does that.
Yeah.
You know, look at this, and that.
I think that's kind of lame.
So, yeah, we're configuring Vista.
You're trying to pick what Windows update setting to use.
We're setting the time.
Woo,
we're GMT -6. US and Canada.
See, what you don't realize is this isn't the install process. You're in Vista already.
So I'm not like in the little separate OS thing that they run?
Because in XP, you always had to choose that, and then it would continue for another like 30 minutes.
Right.
Unless I'm remembering wrong, but that's how I remember it.
So now I have a digital picture frame. Oh, wait, now it's doing something.
It's checking your performance. I guess there is still time. It's got to make sure you can run it, because it sucks so bad.
Now that we wasted an hour of your time, we have determined you cannot do this.
Speaking of waste of time, did you see that OpenOffice.org has released an online version of their software?
Okay, I want to get close enough to the mic where I do this.
It's like, if your base software is already behind, why would you try to jump right into online? And here's the best part. It literally is just the software in an online version. There's no collaboration like Google has. There's no extras.
That's not good.
It's already free. What do I need a web version for?
If you don't have a hard drive for OLPC, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not dissing OpenOffice. I mean, I like the fact that they're around.
No, yeah, keep going. You know, fight the good fight, but I don't know.
Okay, so I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
You see it, huh?
I'm at work or I'm somewhere at a friend's house or whatever, and I need to open up a document. I don't want to install OpenOffice. I just want to do what I want and then be done with it. So I use this online thing. I do what I need to do, alter the Word doc.
But what directs you to this versus Google Docs?
Oh, well, I mean, it's just an alternative. It's like, why eat a hot dog versus a hamburger?
But if you're not going to be as good as the main source, why would you even exist?
Well, I'm not as cute as Brad Pitt, but I'm still going to ask out girls.
Does not apply here.
You got to keep trying, man.
I don't know. I just don't. To me, it's too soon. They should have made it at least have some collaboration already.
So you're saying it should have been more of an integrated thing with other services?
Collaboration means like you can share and edit the same document together.
Oh, like Google does.
Like Google does.
Or, like Ryan, hey, show notes this week. Or
yeah,
Google
I mean, that's
Docs.
That's kind of when you go online, you have to be adding some value so because it's going to be slower.
Then they have to manage.
I guess it's already so slow, maybe there won't be any difference.
Well, no. Okay, but now it's like, okay, so now OpenOffice has to maintain a giant worldwide database of users and logins to do all that collaboration.
Well, if you're going to go big.
Go big
hey,
or go home.
I have to give them credit, though. At least it's not like Microsoft's online version. Did you hear about this?
No.
So Microsoft is releasing an online version of Office. But what could the catch possibly be?
It ain't free.
No, it's free.
Oh.
As long as you own Office. You can't use it unless you own Office.
So... I guess
why would you want it?
I have Office at home,
but
I'm
I want to use a slower version on the web.
I'm stuck at the library, but I want my ribbon interface. I don't know.
It's a mystery to me.
Google does it, so they got to do it.
I guess.
I don't know.
The other reason to me that the online OpenOffice doesn't make sense is because OpenOffice has already been made portable. So I can just have my USB stick with OpenOffice on it. Why do I need an online version?
Yeah.
And it works really well. I mean, to me, that's where OpenOffice comes ahead, is because it's portable. Well, I keep it on a USB stick that I carry with me almost everywhere.
Well, I think the OpenOffice install is getting longer.
It is.
So that's a barrier to entry. People,
that's true.
In the modern day, people won't wait 10 seconds for anything. So you click download, and then you got to wait to install it, and they're like, I'm not going through all that. So
it's true.
You know, they don't want you just running straight to Vista. I mean, to Google Docs.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what will happen still because it's not as good.
Yes, it is. So, with your whole thing, along the theme of if you're not as good, you should just give up.
Yes.
Did you see the thing? So there was an article this week about, I think it was over at CNET. There's a guy that wrote an article that said AMD should just pack it in, liquidate, give up. Because they
saw. Oh, yeah. AMD has been.
It was
just
this really caustic article that was totally one sided. And
So I don't think they should give up, but they need to get their act together. Because all they're getting right now is negative press about how their processors are bad and they're slow and they're not as. They had their golden year. What was this? 2-3 years ago, maybe?
Right.
When their server processors were just smoking Intel's processors. But then Intel had their core processor that was originally just for the laptop, and then they realized, wait, this is so awesome and so much better than anything else we've done, that they moved all of their processors over to that line.
Well, they came back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they were angry because they were bigger and they were slower.
Right.
So that's a fail.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, AMD, the big negative press they've gotten this week is, well, for one thing, supposedly they gave their CEO a raise. Like a big fat raise.
Right.
Even though
they had the huge technical problems.
They had these technical problems with their processors and they paid way too much for ATI. So they have to like write out this crazy thing where they spent like $5 million more dollars than they should have.
Yeah. So they said the stock was overvalued or whatever. So they had to tell their investors, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I mean, I don't want them to liquidate or go away.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. They just need to do better. I mean, I've been a big AMD fan. That was my first CPU was an AMD K62 350 megahertz chip.
Wow.
First PC I built. That was when I was in high school. And I've been AMD ever since, except for now that I'm on a Mac, I don't have a choice. I'm on Intel, but they just haven't been keeping up. And I guess the big negative in the press this week was their, I don't remember which model it was, but it was already way behind. And then they released that there is actually a bug in the actual CPU code. And the fix slows down the processor even more.
See, that's bad.
But I mean, a buggy CPU, that's just not good.
Well, I think Ruiz, I think that's the guy's name, that's the CEO. It's like, oh, we learned, we're fixing it. Don't worry, but this is going to push back all their timelines, and there's nothing, I don't think there's anything lined up in the first part of next year of like big releases. So basically add 9 months to right now And that's the first window that they have to make a comeback. So mm-hmm. they're going to bleed cash between now and next fall.
I mean, yeah, they really need to leverage their ATI purchase. I mean, they could easily release an awesome, you know, combined package, just like Intel's integrated stuff that they just have. I don't know where they what they're doing. They're just letting this stuff languish.
Well, it may be in the works.
Yeah, but yeah, they should have been able to get that out quick, I would think. I mean, why would it take that long?
I don't know. Well, there was all the talk recently about letting the idle GPUs do some of the CPU function stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so, all I that mean, integration.
If they start playing on that field,
yeah,
I mean, they're in a good position to do a lot.
I trust that they're going to make a comeback. I'm hoping that these current CPUs are just ones that they're trying to use to milk along until they come out with their brand new architecture, but I don't know how true that is. I know you can look at their timeline, which I never, of course, do because that's really boring, but you can see their product schedule for the next, like, 3 or 4 years. I don't know. So where are we at with Vista?
It looks like it's up and ready. It's just waiting. I'm at the Welcome Center.
It's all shiny.
It is.
And transparent.
It's very Aero. This is Vista
Aero
Ultimate.
Glass.
So I got offers from Microsoft. I don't care about that. I'm not connected to the network right now because I'm afraid. I don't know how to do anything.
Where is everything?
Where's my device manager? I don't know.
Yeah,
manage my computer.
Oh yes, welcome
to the UAC.
Ryan just has gotten his first user access control box.
We need your permission to continue.
Did you see how annoying that was?
Like, I'm
now
the
imagine
one
that every 5 seconds.
It.
Yes.
Wow. It hasn't blue screened yet, so I'm better than I was yesterday.
That's true. It's a good point.
Device.
But that's the hardware, not the software.
Yeah, so I haven't installed my motherboard-specific drivers.
Oh, so it doesn't see, what, Ethernet controller, an unknown device.
I got some bus stuff, chipsets type stuff to install.
So what's your what was your impression of the install process? Better, worse, indifferent?
Well, I like the fact that it's quieter. Like, it's just doing its thing.
Yep.
It doesn't have two environments, like the pre-install environment and the actual OS. It's just sort of... okay, we're here.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I thought it was slicker, smoother.
Well, what's nice is you can kind of start it, go away, and it's not going to, you know, get 20% through and then ask you what your localization settings
right.
are.
You had to babysit 98 infrastructure and XP also for that kind of stuff. So.
And, you know, there are ways to automate that, but we're not sysadmins. Wait. Yeah, we are.
Don't ask me to automate anything. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll be trying out Vista this week to hopefully redeem my box. I don't know what problem I was having, but hopefully new motherboard, new RAM, and a new operating system, and a new hard drive will be enough of a heart transplant to cure whatever was ailing it.
Well, and I think they've patched Vista enough by now that it's usable. So
hopefully Service Pack 1
printer works with it.
Coming around the corner. So, I mean, they had the release candidate for the SP, right? So.
I'm surprised your monitor works with Vista.
Why wouldn't it?
Because I'm just being a jerk.
It's a 24-incher, man. Yeah, it works with everything.
He's got a sweet monitor.
I could just stick my finger on it and just show you my heart beating. That's how awesome it is. It's like an X-ray.
Oh, yeah. So, did you see anything else in the news this week? I got something else. I got to pull it up. I got to find it. So, discuss.
Talk amongst yourselves while Joe trolls the internet to waste more of our time. No, I don't know. I've just been disgusted because I come home every night and my machine's blue screening and I'm a sysadmin.
Okay, we got to talk about the Mac Mini versus the Honey Baked Ham Smackdown.
Yeah, we will. I don't think we should hash it all out. I think we should leave it as a gem in the show notes.
There'll be a link. It's worth looking into if you need a laugh or your day is getting you down. Read about the Honey Baked Ham
versus
the Mac Mini.
The Mac Mini.
It's pretty funny.
Two things that I've never really
I don't know how they came up with that, but it was...
It's awesome. It's
pretty brilliant.
And even if you don't want to ever visit our site, I think it's on Dig, so... you owe it to yourself to find it somewhere.
But please go visit our site.
Yes.
Please.
And I know we've said stuff was funny before and it wasn't, but this time...
No, really, this time, guys.
No, really, it is funny. I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for this week. It's been interesting getting Vista installed while we were here rambling on about the news.
But, my machine is alive for
we're
now.
We're going to be off for the next couple weeks because Ryan's using Vista, so we can no longer function. No. because of the holidays, I'm going to be going back home for a while. And so we're just going to take some time off, and we figured we earned it.
Yeah, because we're doing so much work. But look for us in January.
Yeah, we'll be back in January sometime.
And at that time, we'll be getting ready for...
Yeah, we'll be getting ready for Macworld and CES. So there'll be some news items coming around mid-January. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you were interested in any of the stories this week, check our show notes. We'll have links to that. And if you wanted to listen to any old episodes because you hate yourself, then you can do that there also as well.
If you're in prison.
But until next week, I'm Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry on the Mad Men.